May I pray for you?
Yeah.
I'm going to pray for Steve. You know, I do pray for Steve now as he brings the word you've laid upon his heart, Lord. And I pray that you will do the things in our hearts that only you can do as we listen, as we hear, as we take it in, as we digest the truth revealed in your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Why don't you just turn around, say hello to somebody. Walk across the room. Good. Well, great to see you all. And next week, actually, Caleb and I are going to be in Ireland. We're going to, and I think there's one or two other people that are also traveling to be part of Gideon's Call with Tommy and the guys there in Ireland. And I think they've got about 150 guys coming from Europe. And it's going to be, no doubt, a Holy Spirit party, and with some very powerful ministry and teaching, I'm sure. So please keep us in your prayers, and that's why I won't be around next week. But I'm looking forward to having time with my boy, but also having time with the guys as well from, I think there's from the Netherlands and from many of the churches in the 412 family. So it's going to be good. So over these past few weeks, we've been looking at a variety of things about being transformed through encountering God afresh, being led by His Spirit, and we've been looking at how we can more greatly just be aware of God's presence with us, and how just being aware of God's presence with us, encountering His presence, makes all the difference, can make a massive difference in our lives. We're not alone, are we? There's only one of me up here, lots of you out there, help me here. We're never alone. It's amazing. We're never, ever alone. We've not been orphaned. We've not been cast away. God is with us. And we've been singing this morning about just the that He does great things. And He does great things. And I hope that this week, you've in some way spent time with Him to encounter that aspect of Him, to be wowed by Him, because He is worthy to be wowed. I'm sure that isn't in the Bible, but you are—he really is. He is worthy to be worshipped, worthy to be amazed, worthy to be for our love to be lavished upon Him, because He's incredible. He can do things that nobody else can do. And He's in the business of doing that. We've been singing it. And sometimes we ought to believe what we sing. Because the words come up there and we just sing it. But actually, is that real for us? Do we really mean it? Are we really encountering that? Is that something that right from the very core of our being that we're saying, yes, this is my experience. And so it's been wonderful to kind of just sing those words and to in some way encounter that this week as I've spent time with Him. And as I've spent time reading this week and just in the presence of God and just letting God speak to me, I wanted to share with you something that God spoke to me. And it's a well-known Bible story, but we've all been there, haven't we, where we've read a well-known story and then something's just jumped out of it. Like, what? I've never seen that before. How have I missed that? How is that possible that I've read this many, many, many times? But and that's the Holy Spirit, isn't it? That's the activity, the life of the Holy Spirit, just bringing the Word alive. And the Bible says that the Word of God is living. Come on. Yes. Living and active and sharper. It's alive. It's when we read it, something happens. And so I wanted to share some thoughts around this story that I've read many times, but just pick up on an aspect of something that the Holy Spirit spoke to me about. Is that okay? If it's not all right, I've got anything else to share. So I've got to share that. So it's from Luke 10, 38 to 32. If you've got your Bibles, then do flip open that. But, you know, there's something about having, you know, a Bible, a physical Bible, and reading it and looking at it. And I know we've all got phones and we've got screens that do everything for us. There's a lot of everything being done for us, isn't there, in this in this generation? And not to make you feel guilty, Pete. Pete's going, oh my goodness, I haven't got. But there's something about opening your Bible. So let's not neglect to you know, dust it off, get it out, read it, spend time in the Word. But we can read along with this scripture as well. So it's Luke 10, 38 to 42. So Jesus, it says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, why don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. So as I was reading this, as I say, the Lord spoke to me. And so the title of my message, if you want a title of my message today, it's only one thing is needed. Only one thing is needed. And I don't want to overcomplicate things. Is that all right? Let's keep it simple. Let's just not make it too kind of difficult to understand. We just want to keep it simple. But as I read this story, and this is Jesus talking, he says that there's one thing that he saw in the life of her that he loved and he appreciated and he wanted to encourage. And one thing, and we will come to what that one thing is, but that one thing, if we, each and every one of us, if I and every single person here, that one thing, if we incorporate into that lives, it's going to bring hope. It's going to bring order. It's going to bring things into the right priority. It's going to bring us into an awareness and a love for a deeper love for God. And you know, as we were singing that song, you know, I was kind of talking to God and saying, God, I just want to repent. If there's anything that I've done that unknowingly, or if there's anything that I've done, you know, willingly or against, would you please forgive me? You know, sometimes we can hold things in our heart, and sometimes that's willingly and unwillingly. And I was just saying, God, please, if there is anything, God, I want to know you more. I want to know you deeper. I want to encounter you continually, deeper and deeper and deeper. So even though I would say I'm in a good place, if you understand what I mean, yeah? Even though I'm in a good place, I'm saying, God, would you, you know, please take me deeper. Take me deeper into understanding you more, seeing you afresh, into a more healthy relationship. So I just want to say, even if you're in a good place today, there's more to encounter. You don't have to be in grievous sin to come to God and say, ah, repent. And, you know, it's like we can come to God, even in a good place, and say, God, please, I hunger and thirst and desire you more. And you know, God's faithful. He loves a heart like that. So this one thing, if we put it into place in our lives, as I say, it's going to bring hope. It's going to bring order. It's going to bring things back into right priority. This week, I spoke to an 80-year-old lady, and she was full of life, but more exciting, she was full of God. She was amazing. And she said, I'm 80 and my husband is 90. I was like, yeah. And she said, but you know what? We still open our homes for hospitality. We run a community group. And she said, we love having people in our homes. And she said, and we can pray. And we pray. We pray for the issues that are going on in our community. We pray for issues that are going on in the world. We pray for the issues and the needs around us. And, you know, although she was physically frail and old, and she said to me, I can't run around and do everything that I would normally do. You know, I used to be going here. So we're limited now to what we can do. But she said, we do what we can to serve the Lord. And she said, come on, let's pray together. And it was just like awesome. It was like wonderful being together. I loved her. I got so much from being together with her. And but I saw something in her that this one thing, a heart after God. A heart to love him no matter what. A heart that, despite all the circumstances, to sit at the feet of Jesus and to encounter him not in a formal meeting or something, you know, but in a relationship, in a way that Jesus felt appreciated, loved, and honored. And don't you love being around people like that? I do. I love being people. She was an inspiration to me. I was like, I want to be like that when I'm 80. I want to be like that man when I'm 90. I want to be opening my home, welcoming people in, doing what I can. I mean, if I can move a little finger, let's just use that for the glory of God. Let's give everything that we have to serve the purposes of God right to the very ends of our lives. Why? Because we've been talking today about how great God is. And he is great. How great is our God? We've been singing it. Great is thy faithfulness. There are hymns and songs that talk of the greatness of God. Why? Because he is great. There's none to top him. There is no one greater. You know, us encountering the love of God is the fulfillment of God's life for you. So it's not leading a second rate or second best life. And if that old lady at 80 and that man at 90 can stagger around, open up their homes, make a cup of tea, pray, you can do it. We can do it. And it's what God loves. Heart after him to sit at his feet. And, so do we make the pursuit of God something that we just say, well, somehow I'm going to try and fit that into my day? Or do we say, my day revolves around a pursuit of my God? So I'm going to make it a priority to love him, to worship, to pray, to read the word, to spend time with him, to sit at his feet. I'm going to make that the priority. And the rest of the day can somehow fit into that. I know we're all busy, but there's a difference between cramming, you know, a 2-minute quick prayer and then rushing out into the day, and the pursuit of my day isn't my work or even my family. My pursuit is Jesus, and somehow then I've got to fit the rest of it in. So just a couple of things I want to share from this. Number one is there are so many things to do. So many things to do. Just you can turn to someone and say, "There's so many things to do." So verse 40 says, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things. So there are many things, aren't there, in life that take our attention. Yes? Yeah. Oh, that was definite. Yeah, you were with me on that one. Yes, there are. If you are a parent with children, then we're reminded every morning that somebody needs you. There's breakfast to be made, shoes to be found. I don't know how that shoe got in the garden and then the other shoe was in the bedroom. I don't know how that happens, but it's a gift that you need to learn as a parent, finding shoes. Shopping to do, packed lunches to prepare, housework, the list goes on and on and on. There's so much to do, if we're honest. You might
have had kids and they've moved out, or you might have never had kids. There's still loads to do each day, things that need to be sorted out, bills to be paid, cars go wrong, washing machines go wrong, food to buy, doctor's appointments, gardens to tidy. Everybody's out there now mowing. You know, everyone's excited, aren't they? It's a bit of warmth, and we can go and there's so much to do. Gardens to tidy, holidays to book, loads of stuff that we need to be busy with. Busy, busy, busy. So much to do. So much to do. And, you know, it's easy for us to get lost in the busyness of life. I'm not saying that life isn't busy. Life is busy. And Martha was distracted by all the things that she had to do. So let me ask you a question. What's distracting you? What's the thing that's distracting you right now? What's distracting? What's a distraction? What's taking your attention away from really pressing in and meeting with God? Is it busyness? Is it a negative or wrong attitude? Is it frustration? Is it, what is it? What is it that is, what's distracting you from encountering God? Because, you know, that's not God's plan for your life, is it? God's plan for your life is that you be filled with joy, that you walk in relationship with him, that you pray, and there's a sense that God's heard me. Sometimes our prayers aren't answered straight away. I'm not saying that, but there's a sense that, yeah, I've prayed, and there's been an interaction. God's, in some way, God's heard me, and I'm just walking in this relationship with him. What is distracting you? So she was busy. She was cooking and looking after these special. These were special. This isn't just anybody. This is Jesus and the disciples. So these are special guests. And I can imagine her running around trying to get everything done. And, you know, maybe she came to the point of realizing, there's no water in the house. Now, she couldn't just turn on a tap and water come out. She's like, I've got to go to the well. So find a bucket, run out to the well, pick up the water, run back. It's slopping everywhere. You know, maybe she dropped, I've got to go back, and staggering back. And she's trying to do all these different jobs. Very, very busy. And she comes back in there, and she hears Mary just sitting down with Jesus, having a laugh. Just it's all relaxed, and you can imagine, can't you, that she was getting more and more and more frustrated with her sister, and I can imagine her walking into the room and giving her one of those looks. One of those, like, you wait till I get you alone. I'm not going to bring anything up, but just you wait till we're alone, and then I'm going to tell you what I think. And at that moment, Jesus glanced up and gave Martha a little smile, invited her to come into the conversation, and she says, Lord, don't you care? Don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work? Now you tell her to help me. Tell her. You can feel, I can feel the frustration. Can you kind of understand where she's coming from? I read a story of a carnival that took place. And there was a beautiful procession of floats and things. And there was this one beautiful one, it was just beautifully decorated with loads of lights on it. And as it came down, all of a sudden it spluttered, 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 and came to a halt in the middle of the parade. And because it was in the middle, all the other floats also stopped. The whole thing came to an abrupt halt. And the reason it came to a halt was because it ran out of fuel. And someone had to go off and get some fuel and come back and fill up the tank. But the amusing thing was that the float was representing an oil company. So with all of the vast resources that this oil company represented, its truck, it ran out of fuel. Is that you? Do you ever feel that you've run out of energy? I can see a few nods, yeah? You know, Jesus can come and change even the most difficult of situations and can come and turn situations around. That's what he does. That's the nature of being God. That's what he can do. And, you know, even though we know that we have all the resources in God to help us, sometimes we can feel like we're running on empty. Just like, you know, that truck. So how can we avoid letting this happen? You know, I don't know if you've ever thought, I'm not appreciated, I'm taken for granted. Actually, maybe, or even thought, maybe I should stop helping, then someone will actually know just how much I've been working. Yeah. So let me ask, where do you serve? Do you serve at home? Do you serve in the church? Do you serve at work? Where is it that maybe you feel that you're not being recognized or not appreciated? Is that you? Maybe it is. And I, again, just want to encourage you, you know, at the end of the day, who is it that we are living for, serving, and working for? Ultimately, it's for God, isn't it? And whether we are recognized and our flesh wants to rise up and say, I want to be recognized. You know, Tom was out the front here. I want to be recognized for what I do. Let Andrew get me up there. But ultimately, our prize, our well done, ultimately is going to come from God, isn't it? And Colossians 3 verse 17 says, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God, to the Father, through him. So whatever you do, whatever you're about, however it is that you're serving, do it to the best of your ability. Do it because we are representatives of the King. Do it with all of your might. Do everything that you can. If it's at work, do it for the best of that you can. Don't be the lazy, miserable, complaining person. And that's the Christian in the corner. Like the only one in the office. You know, complaining and miserable and, you know, it's just like, don't be that person. Be the person that people look up to and say, wow, there's something different about that person. Until they ask you, what is it? What is it about you that is so different to everybody else around you? And that's your opportunity to say, actually, I'm not living to impress my boss. I'm living, regardless of what my boss thinks about me, I'm living to serve the purposes of God. I'm a Christian. I love Jesus. And I want to do whatever I do for the best for him. So don't be that. I'm not saying there's any lazy, miserable Christians here. But let's refocus and let's be those people that are an example, because we just want to please our Father in heaven. You know, life is busy. We've established that. But, you know, something is wrong if life is so busy that we don't have time for God. Our priorities are not right. If our life is so busy, if we're doing things all the time that is so busy, then something is wrong. You know, sometimes we're filling our life because we're trying to fulfill ourselves. So we keep ourselves busy. But actually, by the very nature of the busyness that we do, some of us are not fulfilling our lives. We're not fulfilling actually what God has got for us, because we're so busy doing our own stuff. And God's trying to break in and say, I want you to do this. I want you to go and love that person. I want you to be leading this or serving here or doing that. And you're saying, God, I can't. I'm so busy. I'm so busy. I'm so busy. I'm like a headless chicken running around. I'm so busy. And God wants to encourage us. Don't be so busy trying to fulfill your own life when actually God's got something that he has for you to fulfill. Does that make sense? Or maybe I'm not communicating this well, but yeah. Thank you. What's that? Oh, Ali always says that. We're thinking about it. That's a very good. We're thinking about it. That's why we're quiet. Yeah. So, Martha, in verse 40, Martha was distracted by all the preparations that she had to do. And that word, distracted, comes from the Greek verb perisparo. You can all say whoa. Yeah, perisparo, which actually means going round and round in circles. Going round and round. So actually, we can be so busy doing stuff in life that we're going round and round in circles. Actually not doing anything and not going anywhere. Just busy, busy, busy. I don't know if anybody feels like that. And if that is the case, you know, I would say something needs to change. And Ali was telling me about Lara, and we were going to get her to send a testimony, but she's down in Cornwall. And Lara was sharing with us how God's been speaking to her about making I hope she doesn't mind me sharing this, but anyway, she was going to give her testimony. She said she'd realized, actually, that she needs to make some changes in her life. And it's a simple thing about going to bed early. So, you know, I'd be staying up late and then, you know, the next day I couldn't catch up on what I was doing before. And she said, I felt convicted by God to start putting things into place to go to bed early. And I thought, wow, that's amazing. It's a small little thing, but it's bringing discipline into her life so that she can make a change to bring her life into order. And I respect and honor, and it's amazing to hear that. So what things do maybe you need to change to bring more discipline or to make a shift in your life? Because maybe God's speaking to you today. Okay, secondly then, and the third point is very quick. Okay, I know what it's like when you sit there and you think, he's been going that long. That's the first point. And the second and third is like, wow, it's gonna the dinner might burn. So the second point is one thing. It says there in verse 39, Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. Only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will be not taken from her. So Jesus told Martha that she was worried and upset about many things, but what she needed to do was just one thing. And that's the title of my message. So the big question is, what is the one? What is the one thing? What is the one thing? And, you know, it's the one thing, it's the same thing that David desired and sought after hundreds of years earlier in Psalm 27, verse 4. Said, maybe we could read this together. Yeah? Said, one thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Is that it? Okay. This one thing. Just one thing I ask God. And there's a lot that we could say about that passage. But actually, in essence, what he was saying was, the most important thing for me is to spend time with God, to fellowship with him. I just want to be where he is. I just want to be close to him. Seeking God's presence, seeking his heart, spending time alone. Reading his word, spending time, sitting at his feet, just communicating with him, letting him influence me, letting him speak words of love and affirmation and encouragement and strength into my life. Just one thing. You know, if you get this one thing, it brings everything into our thinking changes, our priorities change. And God wants to make this a priority in our lives, not so that we just somehow, as I said, grab 2 minutes and just, you know, at the end of the day or whatever. But actually, we prioritize spending time sitting at his feet. Why? Because Jesus loves it. He said, this one thing, it's good. It won't, you know, this is something that I want her to do. So the urgency to do that, and the urgency that to actually make this happen comes from the understanding actually that we are weak and that we need him. And I don't know about you, but I can't go a day without needing him to break through, needing him to forgive me. I know you're all wonderful and perfect and you do nothing wrong. Yes. But I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me. And I know my need of God. Me and patience, we're there together. Yes. I know that my heart is so easily diverted and taken away. I know that I can easily get into wrong attitudes. I know that. And I need God. I need to come back to him every day and say, God, please realign me. Please work in my heart. Do you need that? And I think if we don't do it very, very quickly, we can just detour and divert. And before, after just a few days, we feel out sorts with God. God, where are you? What's happened? It's the pursuit. David's heart was a pursuit to get to know God better. And, you know, the greatest pursuit that we can have as Christians is not a better job, not a better house, not greater and more responsibility, but the pursuit of knowing God. And not just knowing about him, because the Bible says that the devil believes in God and knows that he exists. But it's about knowing him and obeying him. Woo. Knowing him, loving upon him, listening to what he says, and obeying his words. Ephesians 5 verse 25 and 26, it says here, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. That's an incredible command. So we've got a lot to live up to, guys. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her to make her holy, cleansing her with the washing with water through the word. And I was just thinking how when we spend time with Jesus, and especially as we spend time reading his word, there's a real sense that God washes us and he cleanses us. It's something that I can't explain. And we said that the Bible is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And when we spend time reading the word, there's a sense that God's moving and changing and challenging us, and stuff in our lives is being exposed because we're looking at who we are and we're marrying that up against the word of God. How does my life and the way that I'm living and my attitudes, and how does that now marry up to what the word, if we're not reading the word, then where's conviction going to come? Where's alignment going to come from? How are we going to know what's right or wrong? And there is something so powerful, essential, life-changing, non-negotiable about spending time reading and digesting God's word. We must not be Christians that just live from one week to another with just our feelings to determine how we're doing. Because we know, don't we? One week we are feeling, woohoo, I am on top of the world. And then the next week we are down in the dumps. We feel depressed, upset, and sometimes we don't even know why that is. But you're getting into the Word of God, letting it wash you, letting it challenge you, reading it, discussing it with others, looking at challenging passages. There are some mega challenging passages in the Bible that sometimes we read and we like, I don't really understand that. But wrestling with them, you know, reading the Old Testament and the New Testament, I feel like this is just like Christianity 101. can't just be New Testament Christians. If we just are New Testament creatures, we don't creatures, New Testament people, Christians, then we're not going to know the full character of God if we don't read the Old Testament together with the New. And there's a lot of people now that only just read the New Testament. We can't just be reading the New. We need to read the whole of the Bible so that we're convicted by the Word of God. You know, when I spend time reading, and I'm sure you do, when we spend time reading, I feel God, the Spirit of God is moving and washing, just doing stuff that that nothing else can do. I feel discouragement go. Who wants that? I want that. I want few people brave enough to put that. I want to read the Word of God, encounter with God, have time with God, that I come out of it just in awe of God, ready for the day. I want to experience that. I feel discouragement go. I feel that I'm being brought back in line with Him when I spend time with Him, in His presence, sitting at His feet, reading His Word. I feel, after encountering that, the distance between me and Him that is maybe that we've grown apart, now that is being reduced. I'm being drawn back closer to Him. If you're here today and you think, you're saying, I feel God so far away from me, so distant, I don't feel that is God speaking to me, then there's lots of things I could say to you. But first thing I would say is, are you really not just reading the Bible, but are you sitting at His feet? Are you really encountering God, the life of God, His life, His Spirit? Do you understand what I mean? Because there are all sorts of things I can say, but actually, that at the end of the day, you can't lead me to God. You have to do it. Each of us have to do it ourselves. I can encourage you. I can tell you. I can bring you up every morning. Have you done your Bible? Have you done your Bible verse? But if you don't do it, and you see that, that call, and you think, oh, Steve again. He's like pestering me to spend time with God. Nobody wants that. But, you know, when there's an excitement, I'm going to come to meet, I'm going to sit at His feet, and something is going to happen, because Jesus is alive, because His Word is living and active. Just amazing. But we can be so busy making our lives fulfilling that we miss the fulfillment that God wants to bring. You know, we were created with fellowship with God. Adam and Eve in the garden, they walked in unbroken fellowship with Him. And that's how it's supposed to be every day, just walking with God. Simply. Guys, why do we make things so complicated? I don't know why we make things so complicated. Simply just walking with Him. Where can I go from your presence? If I go down to the depths, you're there. If I go into the highest heavens, you are there. Where can I can't get out of your presence? If that is your faith level, that's what the Bible says. And you know, so you go to work, and you know God's presence is with you. When you are lying in your bed, God's presence is there with you. Where it's just beautiful. Just beautiful. You know, there are so many voices, so many influences, so many things coming against you, and especially if you're a Christian, so many things that want to take your attention, get you to compromise, get you to do all kinds of things. And there are so many voices, thoughts, fears, and attitudes that want to drown out God's voice. And sometimes God's voice is just so very, very still, small voice. Sometimes He just whispers, I love you. I love you. You're my child. Don't give up. I'm with you. I'm for you. But you know, sometimes if we don't take time to sit at the feet of Jesus and just be quiet. Sometimes it's so easy to not hear the constant reaching out of God's voice to us. And sometimes then we say, "But well, you know, is God silent? I don't think God is silent. Is God silent? I don't think he is silent. I think we sometimes have trouble hearing him. Don't think God is silent. I think God is speaking all the time. He's speaking all the time. He's speaking all the time. He's reaching out to us all the time. He's speaking love and blessing over us. He's speaking to us all the time. Sometimes it's hard because of the distractions of life. So what are the things that are in your life that are keeping you from sitting down and hearing and encountering God? Busyness, daily responsibilities, family needs, these are all important things. And I'm not suggesting that we neglect our kids or that we don't make dinner. You know, you've heard it said, haven't you, that, you know, we can be what is it, that heavenly minded, that we're no earthly good. You know, it's like, oh, no, I'm just going to go and pray. Just spend time with God. And, you know, the house never gets cleaned. And I'm not saying that, but I'm saying, what priority are we giving to? And is it a non-negotiable that actually I'm gonna spend time with God today, because I don't want to be like that vehicle in the parade that just shudders to a stop because I've run out of energy. No, I want to remain filled up. I want the tank to be full. This is very simple. And how do we keep the tank full? By every day going to the source. I want to say go to the petrol station, but you know what I mean. We need to go to the place where we're going to get filled every day. And if we think that we can go without getting filled up, you know, one or two days, I tell you, you're going to feel the benefit. So let it become a non-negotiable for you that every day you're going to spend time with God to get full, to get the right, to get refocused, to marvel at who he is. Okay, and then just lastly, just a couple of minutes, then we're going to finish. Thirdly, then, you can do it. You can. How am I going to do this? Do you realize what my life is like? I mean, you're a guy, but you don't know all the stuff that I have to do, all the stuff that you've mentioned, and more. What planet are you on? You don't know. Well, actually, in the Bible says, Philippians 4, verse 13, I can do all things. So there's no get out. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. And you can do, we need to, and we must do, and we can do what God calls us to do. I don't think Jesus was just saying, don't do any work, just stay around and spend all day praying. Jesus was saying, yes, it's important to work. It's important to do the things that need to be done. But let's make it a non-negotiable part of our life that we're going to spend some time every day at his feet, reading, praying, spending time with him. Guys, if you want to be strong, if you want to endure, if you want to finish the race, it's the only way. It's the only way. If you think you can do it on your own, then you're mistaken. You can't. You need to spend time at the feet of Jesus. And, you know, our work for him is only as effective as his work in us. So what's God doing in you? Is he at work in you? Are you letting him, are you giving him opportunity to do stuff in you? Are you getting wowed and amazed at him because you're spending time? This isn't just for the special Christians. This is for every single person. And I'm an extrovert, so maybe I will explain it differently. But whatever way it looks like for you, and I don't want you I don't want your life to look like mine, but whatever way it looks like for you, spending time with God, your wow may be, mine may be, woohoo, you know, I'll be excited and shouting and just, your wow may be, well, I had an incredible encounter with Jesus, but it was profound. Great. But let God just captivate your heart. When Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, he was speaking in the context of being able to live close to God when times were easy and when times were hard and difficult. Times of plenty and times where he had little or nothing. He said, I can do all things. All things. I think there are, when it says all things, some things may need to be left undone because God's not asking you to do them. So actually, when it says I can do all things, you also need to hear, what's God telling me? What's God encouraging me? What's God instructing me? What are the all things? All things really are whatever God wants me to do, I can do it. Whatever God is telling me to do, I can do it. Now I'm going to finish. So I hope I've kept it simple. It's so simple. Just spending time with God, spending time at his feet. We will benefit from it, but it's something that God says that he loves. But we're the ones that are going to benefit. So it's so easy to get distracted, as I said, by all the stuff. The many things that call on our attention. Don't stay distracted. Simplify your life. So just like Lara was saying, what are the things that we need to maybe let go? Or is something wonderful about decluttering your house, isn't there? Oh, there's a few people. Oh, yes. How about decluttering life? Make some time. Maybe you'll lay some things down. Maybe whatever it is. But let's keep life simple. Let's keep relationship with God simple. Spend time with Jesus each day and then face what life has to give, lay upon us. It's so great to go into the day after having spent time with him and you're excited and encouraged and you feel built up, and then you go into the world and when stuff comes against you, it's like, now, yeah, there's a capacity there for me to deal with it. So maybe we can, I'm just going to end there. Maybe we can, I can preach a message, and I've preached a message a few times kind of on and around this. And I don't know if anybody's made any changes or it's encouraged them. Let's be honest. We've all heard thousands of sermons, haven't we? Yeah. Oh, they heard that? Yeah. I've heard thousands and thousands of sermons. And we all, when we're in church, we go, yeah. It's great. But God wants there to be some change in our lives for our good. For our good, guys. Because he wants us to grow in strength and maturity and in love for him. So let's pray. Let's pray. We talked about distractions, so just first and foremost, I don't know, maybe a distraction in your life is a fear of death or no hope for the future, not knowing what your purpose in life is. Maybe a distraction is, why am I here? Does God exist? Does God love me? And if that's you today, I want to just give an opportunity for you to ask Jesus into your life. God doesn't want anybody to go through life feeling that God is distant
that your prayers are not answered. He doesn't want anybody to feel that they're not, that they don't have a purpose or they're not loved. God sent Jesus to die on a cross to prove and to show that you are of much value to him. You know, the Bible shows time and time and time and time and time again that every human being is so precious to God. You are so precious to him. You have a purpose for being born and to live a life on this earth right now. You have a purpose. And if you, this morning, want to ask Jesus to come into your life, and the Bible says that our sins are like scarlet. They're red. They're obvious. They stand out. But he says that he will wash our sins as white as snow. All the things that maybe you're ashamed of, all the things that you've done to others and maybe others have done to you, things that you can't forget, you can't get over, things that just are staying with you, God can deal with those things. Only God can heal and forgive. So if today you come to a place of recognizing, actually, yeah, I want relationship with this God, then I just want to ask, just while everybody's eyes are closed, you can just put up your hand, and I just want to pray for you. If there's anybody today, thank you. Put your hand down. Thanks. And is there anybody else? So I don't believe that anybody is here by coincidence today listening to this message. So I'm just going to pray a prayer. I want you just to pray this prayer along with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for me. Today I give my life to you. I turn away and repent of my sins. I need you. Would you come into my life? Fill me with your power. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, that I may live from this moment on as a Christian and your child. Thank you that you died on a cross to forgive all the things that I've done wrong. Thank you that you accept me. Thank you, you love me. And I thank you that I am your child. In Jesus' name, amen. Maybe we could all just stand together just as I finish. And you know, if you prayed that prayer, please come and see me at the end of the service, because I want just to encourage you, pray with you. And if you today, you know, for us as members of the church here, if you have been struggling to spend time with Jesus and you need some help with a Bible plan, or you know, Ali's reading a Bible, a chronological Bible, which is great. So, you know, maybe a particular Bible plan will work for you, maybe a particular Bible translation would work for you. Let us help you. That's why we have leaders in the church to help you, help each other grow. So if you need some help, don't be ashamed. Don't just say, oh, I can't ask because it's too embarrassing. No, ask. Please ask. Otherwise, my preaching today has just been a waste of time. So please ask. Please ask. Let us help you. There's no condemnation. We want you to flourish and to grow and to be strong. Is that okay? So please come and speak to us, and we want to help. But let's just all close our eyes and just in our own way. This morning, let's just respond to what God's saying.
And if you this morning need to repent of anything before God, if you need to or you feel distant from him, why don't you just right now, just where you are, just you can pray out loud, you can pray quietly, but just repent of any bad or negative or whatever it is, attitude that you have towards God. Maybe you need to ask God to repent of not spending that time with him. There's no condemnation, but it's something about recognizing and asking God and then coming back to him and just saying, Lord, would you wipe the slate clean? I could start afresh with you. So why don't you just do that right now in your own way, in your own heart? And let's do business with God this morning. Father, we just come to ask, Lord, would you please help us to shift and move and to not to be hard-hearted and stuck in where we are. Lord, help us to be flexible. Help us to be submissive, surrendered to you. Help us to die to self and to live for you. And help us, Lord, to prioritize meeting with you, sitting at your feet. Lord, thank you that you want a strong, vibrant, pure, spotless, holy church. And Father, I pray, Lord, would you please just work, God, within us by your Spirit. Move, Lord, across your church and in each individual that is here. Lord, stir up a passion, Lord, for your word and for your presence and for your Spirit. And Lord, do something, Lord, wonderful, Lord, in each of our lives that will bring life to your church. Lord, we love you. We're amazed by you. And just thank you, Lord, for what you will do and what you want to change and what you want to build, Lord, going forward.